Now, if I didn't know why I was here, and if I didn't understand the Lord and why He had sent me here, I would be greatly disappointed. But knowing what God is doing and why I'm here, the purpose that He sent me here for, it doesn't disappoint me at all. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even faze me. I don't even perhaps think like some minister would think about it. Because I have a purpose. I came here by the leading of the Holy Ghost. I came here for a purpose of spiritual revelation. Perhaps some of you understand that. Perhaps some of you don't. But that's why I came here. And see, in that God has sent me here, and for His purpose, it would not have mattered if no one came. Because if you are on a mission for God, see, it doesn't matter how many people come or don't come. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Now, it warms our heart for people to come because preachers like to preach to people. But that's not what's important. The important thing is that you do what the Lord tells you. God told a prophet one time, He said, you go into a place. He said, and you tell the people and you warn the people. And He said, before you go, He said, they're not going to pay any attention to you. He said, I want to tell you that. So they won't pay a bit of attention to you. He said, but unless you do go, I will require their blood at your hand. Now, I came into Wheeling, West Virginia a number of years ago. It's been quite a number of years back. And I come into the place and I wasn't received at all. Not at all. But it didn't alarm me. Now, most of the places you go, a preacher is received by somebody. There's usually some people. And there was some people there that was nice to us. But we wasn't received. But the Lord spoke to me and told me to get out of the valley. And move out of there. And He said, get out of here. And I told my wife, I said, I'm getting out of here, Betty. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if God didn't just literally flood this place. And I said, we got to get out of here. So we got out, and sure enough, that's exactly what He did. As a matter of fact, the lady that spoke Arabic to us there, her house was on the banks of the river, and the waters came out of the banks and came into her house. We were down in the valley of Alabama, and while we were down there preaching, the people never received the message. And I told the people, I said, the judgment of God is fixing to strike the valley. I said, He sent us here to warn you, but the people gave no heed to it. And so then I told Betty that we needed to get out, and sure enough, the river come up out of the banks and flooded the city till they had to get PT boats to run up and down the streets in the city, and came up the walls of to the store was exceedingly high, and it came up above that and went into the stores, and people lost their lives in the flood. Now, our ministry has been an unusual ministry, and judgment follows it wherever we go. Wherever we go, it doesn't make any difference where it's at. It follows. Judgment follows with tornadoes, with earthquakes, and with all kind of things. I was over in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and I was preaching there, and I said, Betty, the revelation of the Lord is moving just right. I said, there's just one thing like Him. I said, if we had an earthquake, that would put it right down to the team. And all of a sudden, an earthquake hit, and you might have read about it in the paper. It hit and shook 22 states and moved right into the areas of Olive Branch. Now, in other words, God is doing a great thing far beyond our wildest imagination.
Right.
Now, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's why I say that it doesn't disturb me because we don't have a lot of people. Now, I like to preach to a lot of people, and sometimes we have a lot of people where we go, and sometimes we don't. But not too long ago, Brother Taylor and I was on a 6,000-mile tour. And as we come across the Rocky Mountains, down in El Paso, some of you are probably familiar with it, we had to pull in for the night. And as we pulled in for the night, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw tornadoes begin to strike. And it was a terrible ordeal. And I told Brother Taylor what had happened. And what I understood, and all of a sudden, the tornado started to hit, and I said, the Lord showed me that judgment is fixing to strike the earth. Yes. And all of a sudden, you people probably read about it in the papers. You probably had some up in this area. But As many as 60 or 80 tornadoes was picked up at one time by radar. And never in the history of our nation has tornadoes ever struck like they struck. They swept all over the nation, all through Kentucky and all over the place, everywhere. The radios was ringing out with it. The televisions was ringing out with it. And it was just demolishing the cities and the areas everywhere. And I'm sure that you knew about it in this area because it was just all over the nation, everywhere. But it is a fearful time. It's not like it's been in the past. It is a different time. Solomon teaches us in the Word that we're to fear God and keep His commandments. And the beginning of wisdom is to have a fear of God. And people have lost their fear of God. But I fear God. I exceedingly fear God. I love the Lord, and I'm not afraid of God in the sense that I serve God out of love. You don't have to be afraid of God because God is love. But you better be afraid to cross God. You better have enough fear in your heart that you don't cross God or cross God's people. You should have enough fear in your heart that you should never even grieve a minister. Like Brother Ernie here, you being your pastor, you should never even grieve him. Because the Bible said, don't even grieve the minister. For he is God's minister. He beareth not the sword in vain. He is God's minister set there to execute judgment and wrath upon them that do evil. And said, will ye not be afraid for conscience sake? So then he is sent to you for good if you do good. But you don't have to do wrong to him. All you have to do is to do something to grieve him, and you're in trouble with God. It makes no difference who you are. God is no respect to person. Now see, when I said that, there was a man's spirit come in. I picked it up. Discernment shows that there's a man sitting here tonight. His spirit came in and it struck me right here. And it shows that he didn't accept what I said as for him. He accepted me and accepted what I said, but his spirit showed that he didn't accept what I said for him. But he thought he could bypass what I said. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord, you can't bypass it. I tell you that, you know who you are. I'm not going to call you out to embarrass you, but you know who you are, and I know who you are. Now, even in small congregation. But I will tell you this. Don't feel like that because you put yourself in a dangerous position. When you do that, see, you get right into a place to where you can really get hurt. So whatever you do, don't do like that. I love you, and that's why I tell you that. Is that all right? All right. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be here tonight. We kind of got off to the wrong start. Brother Taylor, he lifts me up, and I've asked him not to do it, but he does it anyway. And he feels like he wants to do it, so he does it. Now, well, there's not anything wrong with it. The Bible said, let another man's lips praise you. It's all right to praise you. Paul said, I praise you. You know, a lot of people say, I don't believe you ought to praise anybody. But Paul said, I praise you in a good word. I'll praise you. Let another's lips praise you. And a lot of times, you know, we feel like that we lift up the minister too much. But the Bible said, esteem them very highly for their labor's sake and worthy of double honor. Yeah. So see, you really can't lift them up too high. A son of God, it's impossible to lift a son of God up too high. As a matter of fact, all that you could say wouldn't even near touch what he really is. And the Bible teaches that one son of God will so outshine the noonday sun that the noonday sun will never shine again. Amen. Once one son of God is unveiled. But where our problem comes in is we're all growing in the grace and knowledge. We've not come into the understanding of sonship and the great things of God and who we are and what we are. And because of that, see, we get offended or we get hurt or we just don't understand. And the devil uses things like that to hinder. Therefore, we have to be mighty careful what we say and how we conduct ourselves. Now, let me give you an example, for instance. See, a lot of times Brother Taylor says if you... Brother Pike is coming in. When you see him, you're going to see the Lord Jesus. Now, it sounds like he really jumped the track there. Now, but see, here's the thing. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. Is that right? The reason he said, because my Father and I are one. Now, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that doesn't mean that you and the Father are one. But it does. See, for Jesus said, Father, make these one, even as we are one. Is that right? Now, the Scripture said His glory He will not give to another. Isn't that right? And a lot of people, you know, they're afraid that a man go take the glory of God. But let me show you how far off track we can be. Just talk to you just a minute here to explain something that will help you. Now, let me show you just how far off track we can really be. A lot of times a person will go around and cause a lot of trouble. The devil will cause them to do that. And the person will say, I'm trying to protect the glory of God. Those that are trying to take the glory of God away from him. A lot of times that man's anointed of the devil just to do that. You understand what I'm saying? Now listen now, real close. Some people will do it and do it innocently because they don't know. They really think the man, he is taking the glory of God. But now listen, the Bible said, my glory I will give to another. Is that right? But listen, beloved, you are not another. You are bone of his bone,
yes,
and flesh of his flesh. And Paul said, it's not you that liveth, but Christ that liveth. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. Is that right? Now you are not another. He gives his glory to you.
Hallelujah.
Now he said, where is that in the Bible? Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory wherewith ye glorified me before the world ever was.
That's right.
Is that right? In other words, we are not another. Now, if you belong to some denomination, if you were some religious sect out yonder, or some of the other things that's come along back during the past, you'd be another. But see, we are the very body, the very membership, the very God of the earth. We are the God of the earth. There is no other God except you. Now, the God body has a head. I know that. He has a head. But I want you to see this tonight. There is no other God except you as far as a human body. Will you listen at me a minute tonight? When I get through, you can meet me at the door back there and tell me how wrong I am. But I believe you ought to hear me first. Isn't that right?
Man.
A lot of times we think we're right when we're wrong. It could very well be. I'll just look at it for a few minutes. There is no other God except the body of Jesus Christ in the earth. There is no other God. As far as the natural manifestation, as far as that which can be seen, there is no other God except the membership of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, having his own body that was crucified, buried, and was resurrected, that returns in Revelation 19 after the tribulation to come back and capstone the membership of his body. Is that right?
Right.
Now,
amen.
I had a lady one time. She came and she fell down at my feet. And it like scared me to death. I was a young minister. I didn't understand because I was a young fellow in the Lord. She fell down at my feet and it just about scared the life out of me. But the Lord spoke to my heart later and made me to understand. I just jumped up and got away from her. But she said, Brother Pike, I saw so much of God. She said, I couldn't constrain myself.
Praise the Lord.
And so she fell down. But see, the Bible says, I will make them come and kneel at your feet, not at God's feet, but at your feet and make them to know that I have loved you. He said, I will put the fear of you, not of God, but I will put the fear of you upon all of the people, and they will be afraid not of God, but of you. Is that right? So see, a lot of times we don't understand. See, we don't understand God's feeling about things. Now let's just look at it a few more minutes before we get into a message here. Just trying to explain to you things that will help you. See, a minister isn't looking for glory. He isn't looking for fame and popularity. Why, he's got all that he wants. He's the Son of God. He owns everything in heaven and everything in earth. Paul said, all things are yours. See, whether death, whether life, riches, whatever it is, everything belongs to us. Why should a minister want to try to get fame and popularity and glory? He's got everything that he could ever want. You follow me? His heart is to lift up the name Jesus. Because there's salvation in none other name except the name Jesus.
Amen.
And his desire is not to magnify his name, because the Bible said Jesus sought to make no reputation of himself. But we desire to lift up the name Jesus, that you might find salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right, let's just look at it just a few minutes to show you how people can be in error and not understand. Now, first of all, we say, a man comes to the pulpit and he said, we present to you at this time God's man for this hour. That sounds like he's overdoing it. But maybe he comes with a little stronger than that, you know. And he magnifies him. It looks like he's overdoing it. But I'm going to show you something here, how that we can miss the boat if we're not careful. Let's just see how God would do it. Somebody would say, Brother Pot, how do you think that God would do it? All right, let me show you how God would do it. Now, let's just look back. All right, now here is Gideon out here in the fields laboring, right? He's out here laboring. The enemy's come in and took everything that he had. And there's Gideon out here in the field laboring, just picking up the crumbs, you might say, what's left after the enemy come in. All right, watch this real close. There he is laboring out in the field, and all of a sudden an angel of God drops down out of heaven. Don't you see this? An angel of God drops down out of heaven, and here stands the angel looking over here. And now listen at the way the angel talks. He looks at Gideon, and there's Gideon all cast down, don't know what to do. He feels disgusted and just, he feels like he's a nobody. But here's the angel of God. Here's the angel of God. He's standing here and he's looking at him and he keeps saying, he said, oh, thou mighty man of valor.
Amen.
See the introduction from God? He said, oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. See, if Brother Taylor got up here tonight and said, here comes a mighty man of valor, we'd lose half our congregation. But see, the angel of God said, oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that was Gideon. Well, let's just wait just a few minutes and look and just see how it really comes out. So then the angel of God, why did the angel of God do that? Because the angel of God, potentially speaking, knew that Gideon was the son of the living God.
Yes.
That the eternal God in heaven had gotten himself a son, and here he was only an angel. And as he looked at that son, he thought, my God, here is the offspring of my Creator. Here is the offspring, the son, the baby, the child that belongs to the Almighty God. And I'm standing here looking at him. Now let's look at it again. Here comes God, Moses, leading the people. Here comes God down to have a talk with Miriam and Aaron. Why? Because Miriam and Aaron had got up singing. See, here was Moses. And Miriam and Aaron, all of a sudden, they got upset. And Miriam, she said, I guess Moses thinks he's the only prophet there is in the land. So then, that upset God. All of a sudden, here comes God down. And God said, come on over here. I want to have a talk with you. And so he took him over to the tabernacle. And God said, let me ask you something here. He said, is there another man in the land like my servant Moses? He said, there's not another man in the land like my servant Moses.
Amen.
He said, wasn't you afraid to speak against him? And he said, because of that, I'll smite you with a leprosy. And he did it. Drove her out of the camp. She was a great woman. She had come across the Red Sea, took the temple, and had a dancing good time in God. God had anointed her. The people had admired her. But she got lifted up. So she decided that she could just go over Moses' head. But see, God had a chief cornerstone that day. Now look at it this way. Just how high did God lift Moses up? Somebody said, Brother Pike, you'll overdo it. But now listen real close now. Here, God said, Moses, I have made you a God to Aaron and to the people. Is that right?
Right.
I made you God to them. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you've jumped the gun. But Jesus said, I've called ye gods. Is that right?
That's right.
When he stood over there and they said, you being a man, you make yourself God. I said, we don't find any fault with your teaching. But said, being a man, you make yourself God. Jesus said, you say I blaspheme because I say I'm a son of a God and me and my father are one. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that I call ye gods? Ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. You won't accept that ye are gods and believe it. Therefore, you have to die the death of a man. That's what the minister's for, is to teach you that you're gods, that you don't have to die. Gods are made to be worshipped. Gods are made to be praised. Gods never die. That's why they are gods, is because they can't die. People out yonder, brute beasts, they die. I know some of you don't understand this. Some of you perhaps have never been converted into it. But see, that's what the ministry is for, is to try to explain and tell you these things. The great benefits of God. You're not like people out yonder. All right, now, let's look at it again. See, here he has called you gods. I searched the scriptures. I thumbed back through them. I knew he had to be talking about the Old Testament. I thumbed back through them, and I went back there, and I said, there it is. David speaking. And the Holy Spirit said through the prophecy of David, ye are gods. I said, that's what Jesus was talking about right there. All right, let's look at it again. Now, here comes Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here is John the Baptist, a nobody as far as the world's concerned. A fellow that's got an old skin around him, been out there in the wilderness. He doesn't look like a polished scholar. Here he comes preaching the gospel. And some of them gave a little credit to John and the city. They went out to hear John. And finally, some of the disciples decided they'd like to know what's going on. They said, Lord, we know that Elias is to come. We know that. Jesus said, I say unto you, he's already come. Now, they thought he's lifting John up too high because they thought he was speaking about John. Said, you're talking about Elias? We perceive that you're talking about John the Baptist. Said, he's a prophet. But listen to Jesus now. Jesus said, a prophet? Said, he's more than a prophet. Now, look at the introduction Jesus gave the man of God.
Amen.
See, they said, we believe he's a prophet. That's pretty high. Lifted up. Isn't that right? Jesus said, a prophet. Praise God. He said, a prophet. He said, I say to you, he's more than a prophet. Said, this is him of whom I spake.
Yes.
I send my messenger before my
throne.
Is that right? He's more than a prophet, Jesus said. Now, see, the Spirit does things that we don't understand. Isn't that right? Now, we say, but Brother Pike, that was John. We say, but that was Moses. We say, but that was great men. But listen, folks. Not one of those men, even Abraham, the father of the faithful, even Moses that received the law, even Adam that was placed in the garden, even John the Baptist, not one of those men was as great as just one little bitty child of God in the day that we're living in.
That's right.
Did you know that? You said, where do you get that? Because God said concerning John, there is none greater than John. Moses wasn't greater than John. Is that right?
Right.
Abraham wasn't greater than John.
That's right.
Noah wasn't greater than John. Adam wasn't greater than John. He said there's none that's greater than John. None that's born of women that's greater than John. But he said, I say unto you that one Son of God is greater than John. That means that a child of God that's born in the kingdom, that's a membership of his bone and flesh, that he is the very God body himself. And Moses and all of them in their day was not as great as you are. Oh, my brother, there's not words to praise you. But see, Brother Taylor's deep in the scriptures, and he understands things, and he fails to realize sometimes he's talking to children and babies, and he gets over their head. And see, that causes a complication. Have to be real careful. You can't give babies meat, you choke them to death. But we're trying to do what we can. See, what we want you to do is understand. Like Brother Ernie, I saw him in a vision last night. And he was trying to make you understand. He was working with you to try to make you understand your calling and the greatness of what you are in the earth. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you haven't seen anything yet. My, if you can ever find out who you are and what you are, and where you to go. My, well, we'd shake Huntington, Virginia. We'd shake this place. Because sons of God are mighty. Hallelujah. He said, I'll bring forth my mighty army, saith the Lord. Before them it shall be as the Garden of Eden. Behind them everything that rejects them. And I'll turn it into a barren desert and a wilderness. What a wonderful day.
Amen.
What a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Forgive me for taking so much time before I read a little bit. But I just wanted to explain some things. See, we want to help you. We don't want to hurt you. We want to help you and do everything that we can. But a lot of times we think we understand when we might not understand. And it pays us, you know, to really weigh things out thoroughly to be sure. I want to say again that I'm thankful, very thankful to have our sister here over 90 years old. We had a little fellowship with her today and prayed for her. And prayed for another sister that received her deliverance today. I thought she might be here with us tonight. But she received her deliverance today. And God really blessed her. She said she just felt relieved all over. I want to read just a little bit. And since everything turned out like it did, well, it's made it kind of difficult to know just which direction to take tonight. But let's just turn over to chapter 9 in the book of St. Matthew's. And read the ninth chapter here, a little bit in it, and maybe we'll exhort you a little bit tonight, and we'll keep you long. We've been letting you go pretty early. The anointing's been real good. I haven't had many people, but the anointing's been real good. And I just love it. I love it. You know, I might leave here, and I might have a big crowd of people where I go next time. And, you know, the Lord does strange things. He took Philip away from a citywide revival. Everything was just sweeping across the country. He was having a citywide revival. And God said, Philip, it's time to close that out. He said, I want you to go over here to one man. That's right. So just got one fellow. Can you imagine that? Here's a famous evangelist that's just having the people filled with the Holy Ghost and miracles happening. And God said, you got to leave that. I just got one fellow, and I want you to go over here and talk to him. Isn't that something? But see, you say, well, Brother Pike, why would God esteem that fellow so important? He'll leave the 99 to look for the stray one. He'll do it. That fellow happened to be the eunuch that escorted the queen. God knew that if he could get Philip over there and indoctrinate that person, he could get it into the kingdom. First thing you know, the whole kingdom would have a religion. Is that right? Like Paul, when he lifted up and Paul and put him up there with the dignitaries of that day. See, they abused him. They threw him in jail. They mistreated him. But God meant for him to get the testimony over to those great dignitaries. Is that right? And so then when he got it over to the great dignitaries, all of a sudden it filled the whole country. And the first news you know, there came out a whole nation. Of course, it was the Roman powers. They misused what they got. But they come out with the thing and the whole nation become religious. And they adopted the Christian religion in Constantine's time. Is that right? All because of Paul's suffering. So you just don't ever know. You just don't ever know. All right, if you'll turn over with me, St. Matthew's chapter 9. Not too long ago, I started to tell Brother Ernie tonight, running a little late, had to come on in. Not too long ago, there was somebody down at our place that had a little trouble with the law. A young couple, you know, they broke up, and one went this way and one went that way, and the woman, she wanted to pout a little, a young girl, and pulled her husband in court. So I had the opportunity to go to Bent Farm, as we say, and it gave me opportunity to go visit a judge. How do you believe God will help you? God will stand for you. There was a lawyer mixed up in this, and I told him, I said, God's going to win the case. He looked at me, and he said, I'll tell you, got real arrogant, you know. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, you take God, and he said, I'll take the law. And we'll see who comes out on the top. I said, I'll do that. I said, but I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of experience. I said, I'm going to tell you to start with, right before the people. I said, I'm going to tell you to start with, you're going to lose. I said, I'm going to win. I said, I'm going to tell you to start with, that God is going to give it to me, and you're going to lose out. And it really upset him. And did you know that God won out so thoroughly, they never did even get it to court. God sent me to the judge, and when I got to the judge, I went into his home and began to talk to him about God. And he got so convicted, he began to do like that, and he said, I feel like power. I said, Judge, I said, God saves judges too. I said, you want me to pray for you? And he said, yes, sir. I went over, Brother Taylor and I, and we laid hands on him and prayed for him, and the tears came in his eyes. I said, Judge, you feel like God saved you? He said, I do. Or he shook his head like that. And the old lawyer, he just had to tuck his head and go away. Wasn't nothing he could do. See, if we believe, God will stand on our side. Isn't that right?
That's right.
He's good. He's a good God. He's a good God. Let's read from St. Matthew's chapter 9, beginning in the first verse. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Amen. The scribes couldn't understand. And they thought, if this thing is brand new, why does it come through the rabbis? Why don't it come through our system? We've been studying. We've been doing all the things that Moses told us. And why does it come our way? That's why the world today is missing the things of God. They've got an indoctrination in their heart. They've got an indoctrination in their minds. And they've got their idea about what God is to do. And so then, when God comes to do whatever he's going to do, they can't receive it. Because they've already got their idea about it. And the thing is so brand new, so different, so out of proportion from what they think about it, until they completely miss it. They completely miss it. And so then God, he has to go down here and get somebody that's completely ignorant, an old fisherman like Peter, or somebody that's not been in the seminary, or somebody that's not been with the scribes of the Pharisees. The Bible said, not many mighty are called. Now some mighty are called, but not many mighty. Is that right? The Bible said the common people heard him gladly. We're to preach to the rich. We're to warn. Is that right? But the Bible says it was the common people that heard God. Salvation is sent to the poor. Is that right? So then God was trying to do a new thing. But see, that God set in the ways. He had to go over here and get an old fisherman. And when he reached down, he got that fisherman. He made him the leader of the group. And when they got up to preach, here come the people to listen at him. And they said, there must be something to this. Somebody would say, well, why? He said, because we perceive that these men are ignorant men. And they're unlearned men. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Did you know that's what fascinated the people about Jesus? They said, how does this man know, never having learned? He'd never been to seminary. He wasn't polished. He didn't attend the schools. And Jesus came preaching the gospel. And the scribes and the Pharisees said, this little lad's but 12 years old. Yeah. And he knows more than all of us that's been to seminary. That's been polished. You know what it was? It was God's new thing, Brother Ernie.
Yes,
it was God's new thing. God was doing a new thing. Jesus grew, and the Bible said he grew in stature, and he increased in spirit, and in understanding. And they said, where did this man get this understanding? Where is not this Joseph's son? Wasn't he born of a carpenter? Where did he get all these mighty words? And the Bible said they were baffled, and they were amazed. And they couldn't understand it. I heard that there's a man here in West Virginia. I don't know him. Said he just come through here supposed to be a walking Bible. Said they called him a walking Bible. But he said miracles is not for the people today. He's polished. Put away. And then got too smart. He's got some smart. He's outsmarted his own self. So intellectually brilliant till he's outreasoned God. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity to God. Is that right? See, it's enmity to God. The Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Don't try to reason it out. The just shall live by faith. That obese mind that got started in the garden. It's got a hold of people. Don't lean to your own understanding. Let's forsake your own understanding and trust in the Word.
Yes.
Take the Bible. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All of his promises are yea and amen. All you've got to do is trust in him and he'll bring it to pass. Is that right?
Amen.
So then, he says there's no miracles. But nevertheless, there is miracles. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Because I denied the word of God and I said, can't believe, I can't be because I believe something else. Is God going to turn away from his word? Is God going to lay aside all of his plans just because of my unbelief? All he'll do is just bypass my house and go down to the neighbor's house and perform his word. My unbelief will just keep me back from the good things. The Bible said, thine iniquities have kept me back from good things. God's arm is not short that he can't reach it. Is that right? But thine iniquities have separated between thee and my God. So then Jesus, while the Pharisees couldn't figure it out, while they criticized, and they tried to tell the people there was nothing to miracles, all the time miracles was happening anyway. And they tell somebody over here, you can't believe in that. Said things like that don't really happen today. There's no prophets today.
There's nothing like that's going on. All of a sudden, somebody would jump up and say, God's healed me. I've been saved and healed by the power of God. And the Pharisees was confounded. Called a blind man over there and they said, look. Said, don't be talking like that. Said, don't be saying those things. That disturbs, that's upsetting. It just reflects everything that we've taught down through the years. And the blind man said, I don't know nothing about that. I'm not a polished scholar and I don't understand what you're saying. But there's one thing I do understand, he said. He said, one time I was blind. He said, but somebody gave me back my sight. And he said, today I can see because of this man that you won't have. Said, would you like to be a servant also?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. This woman, here she was in the midst of the people. I suppose that some of them probably told her to be quiet. You know, in that day the law said that anybody that was diseased like that couldn't come in among the people. But here she had come in among them anyway. She slipped in there anyway. She'd broke the law. She'd come in there anyway and she'd got with the multitudes. And I can hear some of them saying, you better get out of here. You're not supposed to be here. You know what they'll do to you. You know Moses, they'll stone you. You're not supposed to be here. But that little woman, she had a hope in her heart. And she kept holding on. And she kept saying within herself, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get close enough just to touch his garment, I believe something will happen to me. And as she was trying to press in for the multitude, and all of a sudden she squeezed through. And she got just close enough just to get her hand out just a little bit and slip it through the people and touch the garment. And when it happened, her faith went out to God. And all of a sudden she felt the power of God surge through her body. And she said, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And she jumped up and it started the great turmoil among the people because the power of God had healed the woman and raised her up. And there she was, healed of her disease, standing there in the midst of the people. Jesus, that great Galilean, turned around. That man of compassion, that man filled with power and love and the will of God. That great, tall Galilean turned around and he looked and he said, somebody touch me. Hallelujah. Somebody touch me. Is that right? Oh, he said, who was it? Who was it that touched me? Who was it that touched me? Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, some of the disciples said, Lord, said there's people everywhere around you. Said, why, it could have been anybody. Said, you're saying, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody touched me in a different way. Said, this was a different touch. Said, this wasn't the kind of touch that you're talking about. Oh, he said, I perceive that virtue went out of my body.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I prayed for people, Brother Ernie, and I know you have. I'd pray for a half a dozen and nothing wouldn't happen. But all of a sudden I'd lay my hand on somebody and I'd feel their faith go up to God. I'd feel the virtue of God as it began to run forth from my body. I could tell that somebody was getting a touch from heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I've looked and I've seen tears streaming down the cheeks. And they'd have their heads turned up to God. And their spirits would be crying, oh, Abba Father, Abba Father, Abba Father. Somebody touch me, Jesus said. You're the temples of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. God walks in you. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
I know there's people that's got the Holy Ghost. But folks, there's more to it than having the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I got the Holy Ghost. That does it. A lot of Jesus' name people have got set on the shelf because of that. They come to baptism in the name of the Lord, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But my brother, there's more to it than that. The Bible said the Holy Ghost is given to guide you into all truth and all of the righteousness of God. When you get the Holy Ghost, you've just been born to the kingdom. You're just a little bitty baby. But my brother, you start growing, and he teaches and opens your understanding. Like Paul of old, when the Holy Ghost called him away in the Arabian desert for 3 years and gave him a great mystery of how he could bypass death and would have to die. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know I found that mystery?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Did you know I found it? I spent all my life looking for it, but I found it. I'm not kidding. I'm not just making up something. I found it. I found it. Oh, Brother Paul said, I can't tell whether I was in the body or out of the body. He said, but a certain period back said, I knew of a man. And said, such a one went up into the third heaven and he saw things that wasn't lawful for him to speak. But I'll tell you what he couldn't speak in that day, I can speak it in this day.
Yes,
I said, what he couldn't tell in that day because the people wasn't ready for it, I can tell it in this day. Hallelujah. He said, I'm like one born out of season. That is, I ought to have been born over the age that Brother Pike's going to be preaching to you in. I'm one that's born out of season. I'm filled with the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, my much revelation God's given me. And old Peter with the keys to the kingdom, the power of God walking around healing people by the shadow, opening the door to the Gentiles. But old Brother Paul got a revelation that Peter couldn't understand. Hallelujah. He had the power of God. But after Paul got the revelation, he went up there to have a talk with Peter. And old Brother Peter said, Paul said things that's hard to be understood. God gave Peter the right to open the doors to the Gentiles and to the Jews. Isn't that right? Because Peter believed. But God wanted him to know that in that day he was going to do a new thing. Peter had healed people by shadow. That was wonderful. But God sent a Paul along. He's going to do a new thing. Hallelujah. No, Paul took boldness. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. He said, I'll magnify my office because I'm your apostle. Hallelujah. He didn't say Peter was your apostle, did he? He said, as God worked with Peter among the Jews, mightily has God worked with me and wrought miracles among the Gentiles. That's why I magnify my office, he said, because I am your apostle. Isn't that right? He's still our apostle today, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Is that right? Having the oversight of the church, that same Paul is still the apostle today. He was the one that went away in that Arabian desert and got the revelation. Brother Peter up there had the keys to the kingdom. But God wanted Peter to know that he had a Paul in the land and that something was fixing to happen. And so then he let Peter get off track just a little bit over there. And old Brother Peter got off track. And the Bible says, them that are over that James, and when he come down, here Peter was, he withdrew from the Gentiles. He fellowshiped them as long as the Jews wasn't around. But just as quick as the Jews come around, Peter, he'd kind of get cold feet, the world said, and he'd withdraw from the Gentiles. Oh, Brother Paul got stirred up. The Holy Ghost began to move in him. Is that right? It began to move in him, and he went over and he said, wait a minute. He said, Peter, what in the world are you doing? And he said, if righteousness come by the law, he said, Jesus Christ died in vain, Peter. He said, why is it that you, living like a Gentile and fellowshipping the Gentiles, turn around to these Jews and try to compel them to follow the law and compel them to live like a Jew when you yourself will live like a Gentile? He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He said, if righteousness come by the law, he said, Jesus is dead in vain. But he said, I believe that the Gentiles have a right to the revelation just as much as the Jews. And you know what else he said? He said, I blamed Brother Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Amen. Hallelujah. I said he blamed Brother Peter to his face. Can you imagine that? Here's the man with the keys to the kingdom. Here's the man that raised Dorcas from the dead. Here's the man that walked on the water. Here's the man that healed people by shadow. But God said a new thing, Peter. Hallelujah. And Paul said, I blamed him to his face. Didn't go around talking about him. I blamed him to his face. Why? I said, because he was to be blamed. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You see what I'm talking about? Praise God. I think the Baptists have done a good job in some things. I think the Methodists have done a good job. I think the Church of God has done a good job. The UPC has done a good job. A lot of them done a good job. But I want to blame them to their face because they're to be blamed. There's a revelation from God. Amen. And God's got it for this hour. Hallelujah. There's a mystery. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. He said, and that mystery is, we shall not all sleep. But he said, there's going to be a change. The song said, there'll be a change after all. Yes. Paul said, Brother Peter, we don't have to go by the way of the grave. He said, there's a generation coming on the face of the earth that's going to conquer death and rise up above it. Glory to God. And they're not going to sleep in the sod.
Yeah.
They're not going to lay down in the dust. But they're going to walk so close to God, they're going to do like old brother Enoch did. Old brother Enoch got so close to God, he just went on home with him. And Paul said, this is the mystery. He said, Enoch was translated by faith, but he should not see death. Oh, hallelujah, I'm feeling good. I want to take just a minute or two more, and I'm going to close here. We got a man that's called the Walking Bible. Now, I'm not talking about the fellow in Huntington. This man is really a walking Bible, brother. At least 20 years ago, this man had 100,000 hours in Bible study. No make-believe, Reverend Bakes. Reverend Bakes, he's got out his own Bible. It's called the Bakes Bible. That man is a great man. I'm not worthy to dust his shoes. But you know, you can know a whole lot of things. And the Bible said, when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. Is that right? Old Brother Bakes knows a lot of things, but there's some things that he don't know that he ought to know. Is that right? Hallelujah. I read in his book where he said that Enoch had to come back into this world and die. He said Enoch had to come back here and die. And said Enoch would be one of the prophets. Old man, the tribulation period, said he had to come back here and die. And said Moses, or rather Elijah, also had to come back here and die. And this is the way he got it. He said it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. When you preach eternal life to people, then people say, but Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. I know that, but there's another scripture that's line upon line and precept upon precept that said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I don't believe some of you know what I'm saying. I said there's an appointment unto death. A soul that sinneth shall surely die. But I'm glad there was a Jesus that tasted death for every man. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on me, he is passed from death unto life. I shall never come into the condemnation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can't we be mixed up sometimes? A lot of people say, but Brother Pike, the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I know that. A lot of folks say, well, everybody's going to appear before that judgment because the Bible said that they're going to be there before the judgment. I know that too. Amen. That's the Bible, and so it will be, just like God said it. But my brother, the Bible said mercy rejoices against judgment. I want you to know there'll never be a saint of God that'll ever stand in the judgment to be judged. I said there'll never be a saint of God that'll ever stand in the judgment to be judged. God isn't going to judge his people in no judgment. The great white throne of judgment had come down after the millennium of the 1,000 years regime with God. My brother, you can be sure that God isn't going to pull his people into it. Hallelujah. You say, but the Bible said they'll be there. I know they'll be there. The Bible said the saints shall judge the world. They'll be there to judge the people. You say, how will they do that? Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. This is membership of my body. They'll judge the people in that day, but they'll never stand there for God to judge them. The Bible said judgment begins at the house of God. There's the judge. There's the one who speaks upon the sacred desk. It's not him that speaketh, but the Bible said God speaketh from within.
Yes, amen.
Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. Is that right? When God speaks from within his holy temple, he said, let the whole world keep silent, for God is in his temple. He said, if any man deny that God is come in the flesh, he's Antichrist. People that preach his three gods, they're denying that God is a spirit, that God came in the fleshly body of Jesus Christ. Brother, they're Antichrist. Somebody said, ain't you afraid to say that? I'd be afraid not to say it. I'd be a fool not to say it. The Bible said if any man deny it, where do those dogmas come from? It comes from the Roman power that sprang up. I blame them to their face because they're to be blamed. Amen, it's right. The revelation of Jesus Christ shows it. If any man deny that God is a spirit, that God lives inside of the human temple, that God came in Christ, he's an antichrist. Start making a dozen gods. Then you become Antichrist. God is a spirit. He lives in a human body. The head of that body is Jesus. And the Bible said the fullness of the Godhead's in Jesus.
Yes,
but the fullness of the God body's in us.
Yes, amen.
And the governance of God don't rest upon the head, it rests upon the shoulder. That's why I believe women ought to have long hair.
Amen.
I preach women ought to have long hair. Somebody said, I'll get you an arrow pie. I said, I teach you ought to have long hair. The woman's the type of the church. And her hair is the type of the glory.
Yes.
And the glory of God's supposed to be upon the shoulders.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. We got a tape back home, the covering of his glory.
Yes.
That goes into Revelation and shows why it's like that. Why it's like that. That's why the Catholic monks shave off their hair. Every bit of it. They shave it off and then they cut their heads. Oh, the revelation of it's beautiful. You love the Lord?
Yes.
I'm going to stop you in a few minutes. I don't want to get in too much deep water. I preached to you a couple of nights here and I said it's going to hit just a little revelation. I don't want to open up too many streams. Can you listen just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. I just want to clarify a thought here. I introduced two or three of them. I want to clarify one or two. Now listen. Let's go back to Enoch for just a minute, can't we? So then, Brother Dake said that Enoch has to come back and die. I disagree with him. Now, why do you disagree, Brother Pye? For this reason. The Bible said that the Scriptures can't be broken. Is that right?
Amen.
Why do I disagree with him? Because the Holy Scriptures state that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It didn't say that he was translated so he could come back and die. It said he was translated that he should not see death. Is that right? The Scriptures can't be broken. They can't be altered. Why should Enoch come back and die? How did Enoch ever do that? He was translated by faith. That's the way you're going to do it. Be translated by faith that you should not see death. How do you know the penalty of the law is death? How do you know where there's no transgression, there's no sin? Is that right? I just wish we could go into it tonight, but we don't have a time. But listen real close to a few thoughts here. My brother and sister, Enoch was not under the law. Is that right? 430 years before God ever gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, God said to old brother Abraham, I'll justify you by faith. And Paul said, and faith was imputed unto him as righteousness, and it can be imputed unto us. 430 years! And the law was added for transgression's sake to show us that we wasn't in harmony with God. But old brother Enoch wasn't under the law. How can a man die if he's not under the law? Paul said, I was alive without the law. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. That's what kills people is the law. But old brother Enoch didn't have to do that. He learned about the grace of God. Somebody would say, but what's that got to do with us today? Abraham was the father of the faithful, called the friend of God. Is that right? You say, what's that got to do with us today? My brother, because Jesus, the mystery of Paul, the thing that Paul discovered, that Jesus died and tasted death for everything. And he folded up the law and he laid it away. And the Bible said that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. And that we are not under the law, Paul said. But we are free from the curse of law. For it is written that every man that hangeth upon a tree, cursed is he. And Jesus became a curse for us. Because man was cursed from the fall in the garden. Is that right? But today, we are the same as Enoch was. The law is taken away. It's folded up. It's laid away. There is no charge against us. Today we're without spot. We're without wrinkle. We're without blemish. Today we are perfect in the sight of God. Someone said, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. Nobody's perfect. But the Bible said, God speaking to old Satan said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, he's the perfect man. Somebody said, yeah, but Job didn't commit any sin. But old Job said, I'm vile. I've sinned against God. How was he then perfect? Through the foreknowledge of God. Peter said, you're elect according to what God foreknew. What did he foreknew? That he'd justify you by grace through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Is that right? Even before the world ever was. Hallelujah. And he sat down there to old brother Job. He said, Job said, where was you? For therefore the morning stars ever sang together when the sons of God leap for joy. Where did the sons of God leap for joy? I'm a son of God. Where did I leap for joy? In the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. God God said, where was you, Job, when Brother Pike was jumping up and down and shouting victory? Hallelujah. He saw me here tonight walking. He saw you dancing and praising God in the Spirit that registered in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. Is that right? He said, Brother Job, where was you at? Old Job said, I've been doing a lot of talking, but I'm going to put my hand on my mouth. Said, I done found out I don't know too much. And I'm just going to listen, Lord, from now on. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? What a day. My God, why shouldn't we jump for joy? I feel the Holy Ghost up here. Why shouldn't we leap? Why shouldn't we run? We have come past the law. We've overcome death. The law's gone. Death has no power over us. The Bible said, then shall be brought the saying of grave. Where's thy victory? Death, what happened to your sting? Oh, I wish we had time to explain it tonight. We got some tape to do. You love the Lord?
Amen.
See, in the day that we're living in, Enoch didn't have to die to come back. You don't have to die to come back. This is a mystery. You'll not all sleep, but you'll be changed. I want you to stand with me. There's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight, but you've been a good audience. And I don't want to keep you too long. I might have already kept you too long. But there's so many things I'd like to say to you. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Are you glad you're here tonight? Praise God. I hope you got something. I hope some little something was said. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want us to sing a little chorus together. It's a privilege, a real privilege to be here with my brother Ernie. We had just a little fellowship before the service begun. I love Ernie. I believe he loved the Lord. I believe he's trying to help you. And I believe we listen that we can be hope, don't you? I feel good. We had a brother from out of the islands. He sang that song, I'm feeling good, good, good. Brother Taylor, I don't know where he sang that song here or not, but he sang, I'm feeling good, good, good. Hallelujah. Sing another song, said, try, Jesus. If you've tried everything and everything has failed, then try Jesus. Hallelujah. You love him tonight. Try Jesus. When everything has failed, try Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Let's just slip our hands up for just a few minutes tonight. I prayed for some of the sick last night, and I'm not going to call you up here tonight. Just lift your hands up and close your eyes. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I can feel Him tonight. Glory to God. How wonderful, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Oh, hallelujah. You love Him. You love Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just lift your eyes toward heaven. Your hearts toward heaven. Jesus said, somebody touch me. Hallelujah. And the little woman felt within her body that she'd been made whole. Jesus said, I perceive that virtue has gone out of my body. Hallelujah. Somebody made a contact with God. Somebody's faith registered with Jesus. And he said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Hallelujah. Not under the law. Not under the law. But Jesus made us perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not under the law. Can lift up our heads without spot. Without wrinkle. Being justified by the grace of God through believing. Hallelujah. Him being delivered for our offense. Stripes laid upon his back for my healing. Can lift up my heart without condemnation. And have faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. While you're praying, I'm going to sing this little chorus. Have faith in God. Let's worship the Lord for just a few minutes.